Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
With rock solid financial advice from the rockbound coast of Maine, where at James Heavey Wealth Advisors, these people love to say,
not what you make, what you keep.
Welcome back, James Heavey. I'm from JT Hicks & Company, with locations all up and down the coast of Maine, where those lovable, number-crunching bean counters just love to say this.
Keep more, pay less.
Tom Hicks is here as well. Guys, well, first, I didn't know that baby boomers were supposed to be maybe cutting some fat bank checks to us. But I guess what I didn't know is not going to be painful when the check doesn't arrive in my mailbox. Tom, you forwarded this item to us, and we want to hear from you. What is this great wealth transfer that I should now be curbing my enthusiasm for?
Well, you know, I'm reminded of a bumper sticker that you've probably seen in it. It says, I'm spending my children's inheritance, right? So, you know, baby boomers are apparently sitting on top of about $124 trillion in assets that presumably would be inherited by the next generation, Generation X and millennials. You would think so, and you could be wrong.
Oh, man. All right. James, should I indeed be curbing my enthusiasm? And should others who think that Dad or Grammy and Grampy are supposed to be passing down some money in a great wealth transfer?
Well, the number 124 trillion ranges from that number all the way down to 36 trillion. So the number itself is somewhat nebulous. I mean, I'm reminded that Paul McCartney one time said, someone asked him, how much are you worth? And he's like, if you know how much you're worth, you're not worth that much. So this number is, you know, goes up and down because it's mostly invested, right? So it's kind of a nebulous number to start with.
Well, Tom, let me pivot back to you and ask, why do baby boomers have this much money? And who said that they were going to be passing it down?
Well, you know, they have this much money because, you know, in large part, you know, they inherited something from the generation before, and they've done a pretty good job of investing, you know, that money and saving for retirement and so on. And, presumably you would think, of course, you know, we call this generational wealth, and you would think that, you are looking forward to, you know, you're not looking forward to the day your folks or your parents pass away, but you're looking forward to that, you know, to that bump up and, you know, to make your own life a little more comfortable. But, you know, there's a few hitches with some of this in that, and you would not be surprised by this. You hear me talk about it all the time is, you know, baby boomers have about $4 trillion in debt. So some of those assets are going to go to satisfy that $4 trillion in debt. And, you know, and that debt consists of like mortgage debt. It consists of credit card debt and loans taken out against investments. So before the next generation gets something, they're at least going to have to pay off that debt.
James, the baby boomers can't pass down the money that they don't have or they owe to someone else.
Well, when I read this article, one of the things that struck me about it is there's not as much detail in this article. So, for instance, if you're a baby boomer and you have set up a charitable remainder trust, you might be sheltering more money than this article could possibly know, right? Because a lot of trusts are private affairs, not subject to public scrutiny. This is a very hard number to understand. If you've done good planning, a boomer could transfer quite a bit of money to their family, but it takes planning. So, and this article doesn't really address that.
Well, let's stick with the word planning for a second, because I know it's a favorite word of both of you. And Tom, I come back to you. If there is someone who is Gen X or a millennial or Gen Z that might have been thinking that eventually my family is going to pass down money to me, they might want to think again, and then they might want to start an Excel spreadsheet or at least take out a notebook and a pen and start to make some plans, because no one may be coming to financially save them, Tom.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's very possible. And one of the large reasons for that is Americans are living longer than any time in history. You know, my own mother was in her mid-80s. I met a lady recently who is 67 years old, and both of her parents are still living and in their 90s, right? So a lot of money is going to get consumed, and that, and this article points to that, is going to get consumed just in survival, right? You know, paying for a place to live, food to eat, transportation, vacations, all that sort of thing. So there's a fair amount that's going to just get consumed in that life cycle process. And, you know, like you said, maybe your spreadsheet should really be focusing on you and what you're doing to plan for retirement and making your end of life decisions, et cetera, you know, before you worry about what am I getting from my family before you do that.
James, maybe I'm out of line. Go ahead, James.
Tom's absolutely right. Planning on inheriting a lot of money from your rich uncle, not a great strategy, but getting that rich uncle to consider long-term care insurance or a health savings account, that's a good strategy.
All right, that pivots me to the question, and I'm going to start with you on this, James. There may be those of the younger generation that are thinking that this is going to happen. This might be the catalyst to have the difficult conversations that maybe Grammy and Grampy and even Mom and Dad don't want to have, even if they may be co-generational habitation underway. If you're going to gather at the kitchen table, now's the time to talk about it over supper. What's the plan? How are we going to see this happen? Uncomfortable as it is, James, that's a conversation that maybe people should be having.
That is a conversation that people should be having. And I'm going to tell you that in my experience, very rarely does it come from the younger generation. So if you're a boomer, sit down with your kids, have that difficult conversation. What are you going to do should you lose some degree of your health, or should you become more frail? Should be talking about long-term care planning or long-term care insurance. And I always suggest to my clients that you should have at least $200,000 set aside for medical expenses. So that's what the average retiree will actually spend in retirement on medical care.
Tom, when I got that Social Security statement that said, this is how much you're worth alive, this is how much you're worth dead, and I read it out loud in the kitchen, Ian, Coco, and Elizabeth all started looking at me quite differently. I swear they were doing calculations.
Did you put away anything sharp, or maybe lock it up just to be safe, you know?
Step away from the butcher block, honey, and put the knife down.
And just for the record, Rick, if you're going down a steep set of stairs, Elizabeth should go first.
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.